Penfield on the Voyager album with Dr. Fred Bell playing there on that their deal. Well, it's July 17th. Everybody seems to be all steamed up here. 4th of July wearing off, and I've got my sidekicks, Bella Bird and Steve Barish. Are you there, Steve? You had the show
last
week.
Yes, I am.
How was it, man?
It was great. I had a wonderful session last week. We had quite a good session.
Did you?
And, we had a lot of fun.
What all you guys do?
Well, we talked about the nuclear receptor. We talked about the projector, how they work, how the projectors work on the walls, and how they're firing these days. You know, be able to see the light coming out of the pyramids and seeing the light going into the center room and a ball forming with tremendous light. So we had a wonderful time.
Oh, good.
Just really a great time. We spent a whole hour on the nuclear receptor, projector, and a lot of the other stuff that you're involved with. So it was really, really good.
With all week.
It was fabulous. We ended up with a 47 rating.
Which I thought
was pretty high, yeah.
So what did you do all week?
Well, I've been really, really doing a lot of work with the Andromedans and the Palladians. And tonight it really paid off. I had a client come in, and he actually saw a Palladian and an Andromedan holding his left and right hand.
And
he was really amazed. He was absolutely amazed at the energy that they were giving him and the energy that was coming down from heaven through him. So there was a lot going on. And so it's really starting to pay off all the work that you've shown me, and it seems to be working very, very well. It's a lot of fun.
And we're rearranging my backup sidekick here, who likes to come over here. Right there. I've got my trainee here. I don't know how loud their trainee will be, but he's preparing to be another sidekick. You know,
we'll have a pair. Now, is Bella the male or the female?
Female.
The female. And what's the male's name?
Buddy Boo Bird.
Buddy Boo Bird.
Yeah.
And how old is he now?
He had his first birthday on May 23rd. So he's
here
and about 20 some days old here. Almost a year and a month old now. June. He's almost a month too old. He's almost 14 months old now.
Now, is he as big as the female bird already?
Huh?
Is he as big as the female bird already?
Oh, he's bigger.
Oh, he is bigger.
Yeah, we were up at the JW Marriott for 4 days. We took our first vacation in 3 years. Which
right.
For 4 days, which is like, you know, you go up there and they have birds, you know. So
oh, cool.
We have these canals and these boats that go on the canals and stuff. It's in Palm Springs, but pretty oriented towards birds. We even bought some glasses with birds on them.
Huh.
And so, so anyway, they had a pair of these, they call them Romeo and Juliet because these eclectic
yeah.
birds are,
mm-hmm.
they're good breeders and they mate up pretty good, you know.
Oh, wonderful.
Buddy Boo here, he's Buddy Boo. Trying to air, buddy. Yeah. So anyway, we played with them, but I did notice their birds, theirs were the guy that was handling them, man, you know, moving them back and forth from their storage area to the area where people look at them. That's been there 7 years, and he said that these two, Romeo and Juliet, have been there 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know Bella's at least 3.5, 4 years old.
Right.
We don't know when her birthday is. I got to get my bird psychic friends to tell me what the birthday is. You know how old Buddy is. But it's funny because the Romeo bird, which was the male, was smaller than my bird, my male. But they come from a different part of the Solomon Islands.
Right.
If you want a pet, boy, you can't beat these kind of birds. When are you going to get yours?
I'd love to get a bird some point in my life.
Yeah, they really teach you a lot. And
do
you,
they?
You get a magazine, if you want to learn about them, get a magazine called Bird Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And Bird Talk, it's a really cool magazine. And It had one article about these eclectus in them. You know, they like a lot of fresh food and stuff. They're not
mm-hmm,
meat eaters
mm-hmm,
or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, us being vegetarians, it really helps out a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we've been having some fun. Did you get your car fixed?
Yeah, I got it all fixed. Clutch, pressure plate, throwout bearing, and got the tranny fixed, yeah.
What did they say when you...
Well, they couldn't understand it. They said the clutch pressure plate and throw-out bearing, with the amount of miles I had on it, should have never happened. So we think the guy that owned it before really raced the heck out of it.
Oh, yeah, he probably did.
You know, because I don't race my car. I just, I'm really, really gentle with it. It's not the kind of car you want to fool around in the... On the expressways, it's way too fast for that.
Oh yeah,
and I just enjoy driving it. You know, when you're 67, you just want to take your time and drive it around, enjoy it, and you know. So that's what I'm doing.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and people love the car. I mean, I stop at a gas station, they pull in, and they stop you, they shake your hand. I can't believe I've never seen one before, and they're beautiful, and you know that kind of thing.
That's cool.
Macomb County, Auction, excuse me, has the 1965 GT40 that won Le Mans race and just killed the Ferraris back in 1965.
I remember that.
And they are going to sell that car, and they're thinking that it'll hit eight numbers. I think it's going up for, it'll hit eight numbers.
Like 60 million or something?
Like 28 million, 30 million, yeah, something like that, some big figure.
Well, you know, you can buy, you know, like people, you know, like the Enzo Ferrari, everybody bought those for 600 grand.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Turn right around, some guys bought like 10 of them. They turn around a couple years later and sell them for $1.2 to $1.5 million.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good living buying and selling Ferraris if you got the initial capital.
Yep. They're beautiful cars. They're so rare.
Wish I had more of them.
Well, you've got a couple of them. I remember seeing one,
yeah.
And then I came out the following year, and you had two of them there. So that's really cool.
I have three, but the guy sold me one that wasn't his, and I'm still paying for one I don't own.
Really?
Yeah, I had a convertible. I paid $66,000 for it, and, you know, I borrowed the money, obviously, to buy it, and then he couldn't produce the pink slip, ripped me off, and took off, you know. So I had to return the car to the original owner. It took me 6 months to find out who the original owner was in the process of running the pink slip.
Wow.
And he'd given the owner a bad check. So obviously, I didn't own the car anymore, so I get it. You know, I could have kept it, but, I mean, karmically. So I had to pay off $66,000. I'm still paying on it.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. It could be a house payment instead of a car payment for something
yeah.
like this. So you got to be careful when you buy cars.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially Ferraris, you know. There's a lot of charlatans out there.
Yeah, you got to be real careful with that stuff.
Anyway, I was trying to figure out how this chat room works. Cause some people like to do that, but I don't know. That every time I go on this, the Ustream part works good, and I started and stopped the recording here without blowing out my whole broadcast, but I'm still trying to figure out how to work all this stuff. When are you going to get you a computer so you can have some fun?
Oh, God, this computer is driving me crazy. Let's not talk about that. I just spent a fortune on my car. But I think I'm going to get the Apple to my brother's son and just buy myself a regular computer. So I have nothing but trouble with this thing.
Oh, yeah. Well,
nothing but trouble.
But what happened when you stopped payment on that check?
Oh, I stopped payment on my Cobra.
Yeah.
And, boy, they got that car in the next day, actually, literally the next day.
And what did they do?
And they readjusted the clutch, and it came back perfectly.
That's what it was, an adjustment.
Yeah, well, it's amazing what people will do when they get their they get a check cut off. You know, it's amazing how nice they are.
Oh yeah.
And then I just issued him another check, so.
So it was fine. Did they give you a better deal, or was it the same price?
No, same price. I'm not interested in whittling them down or anything. I just wanted my car back right.
What was their excuse for not having a car running right?
Well, I think part of the problem is it wasn't adjusted properly the first time, and it went out of adjustment the second time.
Oh, okay.
And so they brought it back in and adjusted it, and it seems to be pretty good now.
Well, it took them a few minutes.
Oh, it took them longer than a few minutes, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have to wait for it?
No, I took it in there, dropped it off, and just left it there. And they called me, I think, in the afternoon and said, the car's all done. Why don't you come pick it up and check it out?
Well, they were more in an adjustment then.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Adjusting a clutch, all it is a rod, goes from the clutch, the back of the clutch pedal. It's just a rod that goes down to the bell housing where the arm is that pushes. There's an arm down there that goes.
Right.
The pivots right at the bell housing, right at the entrance,
right.
And pushes the throw-out bearing against the clutch.
Yeah.
The arm has two nuts on it. There's a little long rod between the clutch pedal thing and the
right,
arm.
Right. Right.
From that car, I think it's about 18 inches long. It's even that. You just have to screw it. That would have taken it done that while you waited.
Yeah, no, I left it there, and they called me in the afternoon.
You had other problems with it. Was it making racket, too, or what?
Yeah, when I pressed the clutch in, I could hear the throw-out bearing getting torqued or something. It was cracking, and I said, what the heck is wrong with this? And so whatever they did, they fixed it, and I got it
quiet
back the
now.
Next day. You know, oh, it's quiet now.
Oh, cool.
But it's fast. I mean, it's just, it's lightning fast.
Excellent.
You know, and it's fun to drive. It's really a fun car.
Yeah. Well, we're in editing on the book now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I told
That's
you
fantastic.
The story about the editor, right?
Yes.
You know, within 90 seconds, of finishing the book, my previous editors that did the other book for me and arranged called within 90 seconds.
Wow.
I hadn't heard from him in 6 years.
Wow.
I just asked the projector, which is sitting right here in front of me. I use it every day, using it right now. There's the projector for those of you that's the big guy. I got a bunch of these in the room here, you know, and I use this every day, and I used it that day, and 90 seconds after not hearing from somebody for 6 years, they were on the phone, and the next week they were over picking up the stuff.
Incredible.
Yes. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. I'm just showing everybody. Look at that. Look at that. Here's how it's going to look. That's the electronic harassment delivery systems, the program for just you. And then there's a question mark down there because it says acts on the, that's the chapter. We don't know the chapter number yet because we don't
right.
know.
Right, right.
There's 100 pages of it completely done right there. We'll be taking orders for it in 2 weeks, hopefully.
That's great.
Yeah, and they'll be shipping it probably in a month.
That's wonderful.
After 4 or 5 years, I think that's about time to get that puppy out, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Give out the numbers if anybody wants to call. In case they want to talk about anything before we get into some topic here in a minute.
Yep.
You got the numbers there for BBS?
Oh, excuse me. I'll go over and get them. Hold on a moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on. We got the phone numbers here.
And you got your show tomorrow.
Yeah, I got my show tomorrow, and it's been a lot of fun. I'll tell you, I'm learning a lot from your show doing my show.
How's that?
You know, well, it's really interesting. I mean, people are very, very interesting, and they're really curious. It's so nice talking to people. Some of the same people from your show call me on my show.
Oh, that's good.
You know, so it's really a lot of fun. I'm looking for the...
Well, while we were up at the hotel...
Yeah.
Okay. We saw a movie, and it's on pay-per-view on DirecTV right now. It's called Known, K-N-O-W-N.
Right.
With Nicolas Cage, one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
And it's the story of pretty much an Andromedan story.
Really?
Yeah. And I really recommend it because I figured it when they first started having this, the kids that started having this contact, this guy's daughter,
yeah,
and this guy's girl, sort of like a girlfriend.
Right.
Girlfriend.
And, right.
And their daughter, and his son, her daughter and his son, were contacted what I thought was Pleiadians, but they turned out when I saw them in their ship, it was Andromedans, and it was very much like a real Andromedan ship, and it really operated.
Really?
It had effects just like it.
Right.
Basically, it was the ending of the Earth, and they were going to take, they took the two kids away, you know,
mm-hmm.
And the way the Earth was going to end in this movie was there's going to be a giant solar flare.
Right.
And wipe out the Earth, which there was. But
before
the solar flare came, they had this great mystery about these strangers that kept appearing, just like Andromedans. They just kept appearing,
right,
scaring the heck out of the out of Nicolas Cage's character and the other girl that played the leading actress, whoever she was. Somebody I didn't know, but she's a good actress. And and so they kept becoming afraid, because they were getting followed and all this other kind of stuff by the
Peter.
And so there's their whole story there. Plus, there was a little bit of metaphysical stuff tied in with it to really make it.
Right.
It was a very realistic deal. And they even showed, I won't give the movie away, but towards the end there, they even showed where the Andromedans took the kids. And it showed the kids on this new space that they were going to be living in. And it was just very, very cool and very accurate as to Revelation.
Right.
Yeah. I was shocked when I saw this movie. It's one of the first sci-fi movies that I've ever seen in a long time, except the last one was the Pleiadians were coming, and that was Battlestar Galactica, mm-hmm. the last issue, when they came, and like the Pleiadians came to us, and they were coming from deep space, and they were flying down the freeways in their saucers and stuff, and there was L.A. traffic at 5 o'clock.
Right.
That was very realistic, because it was actually happening at that time. And I was hanging out with Richard Hatch, who was the star of it. He was coming to my house for dinner. We became great friends. And so here I am with this, hanging out in this movie. It's about, you know, it ends like an Andromedan ending, and the guy that starred it, along with Lauren Green, a bunch of the others, the star of it, Adama,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Became a friend of mine during the movie, hanging out at my house.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and
that's wild.
So I don't need a circumstance like that with this planet, because that means we won't be around and the kids will be gone. So
yeah,
you really got to see the movie. Called Knowing.
Let me give out this phone number. It's 1-888-815-9756, and that's worldwide. And what you do if you call that number, it will automatically go to any phone that they have there. So that's the only number we need to use anymore.
Yeah, well, that's good.
And so that sort of makes it simple. So it's 1-888 815-975-9756.
That's pretty cool. I got a rainbow. Not one of my special effects, but I actually have a rainbow on my shirt right now. I don't know where it's coming.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know where it's coming from. It's coming from the thing that the bird's on here. Could be. No, it could be. It might be. But I don't know. I got a rainbow on me.
Yeah.
Not a special effect. Usually I use a lot of special effects here because we got so many people that like that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Did you enjoy Palm Springs? Is it really nice?
Yeah, I enjoyed it over there. I didn't go outside much because it was too hot.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It's a desert, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did Mikkel have a good time?
Yeah, she got to relax.
Oh, good.
We got all these clients, you know. I don't know how many of them we got, but there's hundreds of them. And the problem we have with the clients is they're great, but they order something, and everything we make is pretty much specialized for that person.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes 4 to 6 weeks. People order stuff and they want it next week, and we have to create it for them.
Right,
and
right.
If you order
right.
a Peridome or a Powerdome or something, we'll ship it off the shelf. But receptors are everyone's handmade. And
right, I know that.
Yeah, they don't.
I know that.
They don't. We don't just whip out a bunch of those things because they all have to be very slowly crafted.
Yeah.
They all have to be perfect because we got a very high quality control level here. You know.
I know you do.
And so.
You know,
half the time people are calling wondering where their receptor is, and it's being made, and then you got to deal with that. And then at the same time, people are trying to order more of them, people, new people, and then other people are having to be muscle tested and that for the ones that they're going to get. So it gets real crazy around here.
Yeah, yeah.
And this happens every day.
That's wild.
And some people, you know, we do some special stones like sphenes and...
Mm-hmm.
And when that meteorite when we did for Sean Morton, it's a special stone.
Oh, the moldavite.
Moldavite, yeah. When you want some of these people want to have the psychic energy, we get Alzheimer patients. We got to reconnect their psyche to their brain and all this kind of stuff that we have.
Right.
And so as a result of it, I have to order special things that are not on the normal menu. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened was, I saw about five years ago, I saw the spleen market.
Okay.
And I knew I was having a lot of problems getting them. You know, they're just about impossible to get.
Right.
Not impossible now. It's easier to get a yellow or a pink diamond than it is a spleen. And there's Steve.
Hello.
Hello. This is Wes from Florida.
Hi, Wes. How are you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. I was calling to let you know I enjoy your show and had a question for you.
Okay.
Sure. I'd like to ask you guys, I got some money saved up, and I'm just trying to think about what I'd like to purchase from Paradyne. And, you know, I just... don't know exactly as far as the stand. I've got a silver receptor and projector that you wear around your neck, and those are really they're awesome, and I still feel the effects of them even though I've had them quite a while, and as a matter of fact could be getting stronger, not weaker as far as effects. But I'm calling because I'm not quite sure, you know, whether to get a large crystal, some lasers. I was kind of thinking about a pyramid, but even the 7-foot one's kind of big because I have a huge bed, and even a 10-foot pyramid wouldn't really fit around it.
Well, so, I've got a king size bed, and my bed's very big, and I have this 10-foot pyramid, and it fits beautifully around the bed.
I don't know. I'd measured it, and I tried to figure out the angle, and I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's like almost 5 foot tall as far as the headboard. My room isn't big enough to slide it out.
It won't go over the headboard, it's about over one end. But how tall is the mattress from the floor?
It's pretty tall, but it's probably about 3.5.
3.5 feet to the
mat? Yeah, but my room isn't really big enough to, maybe I could fit it in or part of it, but I don't know, it just probably wouldn't work. But as far as the
Well, 3 feet high, I think you're way off the ground. What, do you have a ladder to get up in it, or what?
Hey, it changed my lifestyle when I got that huge bed. But but we enjoy it because, you know, we're in the bed 8 hours a day, and we, you know, I'd love to be in the pyramid 8 hours a night, I should say. But
yeah, well,
anyway, I'm kind of
how high are your ceilings?
They're at least 10 feet, I think.
Yeah, you probably would be smart to get a 9 foot pyramid or even a 10, but no, 10's a little big for that. A 9 or an 8, and put a pulley above your bed and raise it up over your, so you can get in and out of it, and then lower it at night once you get in the bed. Because an 8 foot.
Oh, really? I didn't think about that.
Yeah, an 8 foot will sit right on top of the mattress. An 8 foot will do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8 by 8, and I know that the California King is about the, is a little bit, just about the same size, if I remember correctly, 8 feet by 8 feet. That's one way.
Oh,
to
I see.
Yeah, that's one way to
help. Yeah, I was always thinking that the pyramid would rest on the floor, but I didn't realize you. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and you said.
But I'm also really.
Yeah, I've got 12-foot ceilings in here. I think these might be 10 here. So I think in the other rooms they're 12. But a 10-foot ceiling is good. It'll work, you know. It's just an 8-foot ceiling. It won't work, but a 10-foot it will.
Yeah, mine fits perfect. It just fits perfect.
Yeah, but you're on the floor.
Yeah.
And he's talking about setting it on the bed and then raising it with a pulley, putting a pulley in the stud above it and raising it up. You can even swing it out of the way for making the bed. Yeah, that, do it that way. It'll swing out and just have a hook on the wall so it's sitting on the wall. And then the capstone's part of the pyramid now, and it all bolts together so it doesn't fall apart, and it's very rigid. And
yeah.
And then you put the orb on it at night. Once you get in it with a crystal, but you have a.
I would just love to do that.
Yeah, you have a master crystal.
No, I don't. I was thinking about a master
crystal to buy. That's. I would invest in that.
We're running out. I'm telling you, the prices are going up on them as we get lower on them because we can't get any more. That's the problem. But we're down.
Hey, what are the effects? What are the effects? I mean, I've listened to probably all your BBS archives and stuff, Dr. Bell, because. And I've listened to a lot of yours too, Steve. And but still, as I come to this point where I'm about to lay out some money as an investment, what would be the practical? Because I'm not all that spiritual. I'm not really on a high level right now. But as far as the health benefits, I've noticed a lot with the necklaces. And so would the standalone projectors do anything besides? Because I'm not I'm actually a I know it sounds weird because I'm not a guy that's going around very fearful of anything, but looking at what the necklaces had an effect, how they had an effect on me, getting the standalone projectors, I'm like, wow, what's going to happen? And I don't necessarily want to go around,
The standalone projector is a quantum transference amplifier. So what it does is it amplifies what's on your, what you're wearing by many, 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 time. I mean, when I use mine with dedication, like I always do, I don't always do that. I'll take it back. Sometimes I'm kind of like not grounded and I'm preoccupied, and a standalone is a waste of time when you're preoccupied. But as soon as you get clear and you realize it's going to work, it does work. Like
yes.
I said, 90 seconds from the time that I did the last chapter of my book to the time that people called to take it to the next step. So, and that happens a lot with a lot of things. So, the standalone do that. They make things happen real fast, like
very quickly.
Fast.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not the kind of guy that necessarily has the. I don't know if I would even want to have everything happen much faster. I mean,
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as the other things, maybe it would amplify the effects of the receptor, or I don't.
It amplifies everything. Yeah, Steve, you explain it to him.
Yeah, I think what he's trying to say, he's not sure if he wants to get that, but I think the best thing for him would actually be the Master Crystal. There aren't too many of those left.
Yeah,
and the effect of that would be slow but very steady for you, and it actually clears the body and actually. Will fire into your body what you need. It's the only crystal I've ever seen with compassion. And I use it all the time. I'm doing 25, 30 clients a week, and I'm watching that Master Crystal fire shards of light into the body wherever it needs. So I know they work. And it's very, very powerful, extremely powerful. It's very compassionate, very loving. And I'll tell you, I had a problem with Fred for about a year. He wanted me to buy one very badly, and I refused. And now I won't. If somebody walked up to me and gave me $1 million for it, I wouldn't sell it.
I believe it.
It really
I
works.
Mean, yeah, I do believe it. And yeah, eventually I'm going to get probably a lot of this, you know, all this stuff. But just a question of what to do next. So, hey, Steve, do you fire a laser into your Master Crystal all the time?
No, I fire a laser once in a while when I want to clear it, or I'll take it outside, let the sun hit it, or I'll wash it outside. I don't use lasers all the time. I don't need it. I can really make things happen without lasers, but it's not to say that I wouldn't use lasers, but I just I use my own energy.
I see.
Yeah, we like
well,
yeah.
Reading,
yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Sorry.
I was just saying, I'm constantly reading "Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light." I mean, you have to be very open-minded.
The lasers are extremely powerful, and I think that they really, really do a beautiful job. But you have to have a crystal to use it with, and that's why I'm saying I think a master crystal would be perfect for you.
Yeah,
and
if you want to use the laser, you'll get the SPDC effect, which is a spontaneous transmission of quantum energy, and the latest thing in theoretical physics now, and I might have mentioned it in my book. I think I did mention, yeah, I mentioned it in my book, but I mean we're talking leading edge physics here. It's when you shoot a laser into a crystal lattice structure like a quartz Arkansas crystal, for example. And then you have a quantum device like a projector nearby. It will quantify that light on that lattice structure. And this is being discussed now in theoretical physics, and I've seen some of the formulations on it. It's pretty amazing stuff. Because it starts a process called quantum tunneling within the lattice structure of the crystal. But so it's actually, and the science is saying that it is some kind of thought amplifier. But I really can't expound on it because I'm just getting the data on it. I mean, I have my idea, and we've been doing it for years of how it works.
Right.
But it's interesting to see the physics community starting to acknowledge a lot of the stuff that we're doing.
Right.
Oh, and it's crazy and out there. They're showing us mathematically and with different theoretical models of energy, energy models, how this stuff works. Now, I've had a couple of very famous physicists on this show, Michio Kaku, one of them, Dr. Michael Brooks from London, another theoretical physicist over there, and I've talked to Leonard Susskind, and he's going to come on the show. I'm looking to get Murray Gell-Mann, who was the guy that discovered quarks, got a Nobel Peace Prize for it back in the day, in 1969. He's over in Arizona. He's probably going to come on. Just all the people that I wrote about in the book, I'm going to bring them on the show. We're going to discuss this stuff. These guys are Nobel Peace Prize laureates, all of them. Except Michio Kaku hasn't got one yet, but he's about to because he's working on the string theory, and he's pretty far out with it. And I don't know if Susskind got one or not, but he's doing some string theory work along with some black hole stuff. It's with Stephen Hawking. So, I mean, that's the gang, you know, that we're hanging out with now. And spacey as I am, they're not having a problem with it anymore. It's
right. Right.
Isn't that comforting?
Right. Well, it's been 38 years with Paradyne, or 40 years, and the company's been in business for 34, but we had 6 years of, you know, getting it ready to go, and so it's a 40-year-old company in my head.
Well, I tell you what, I listened to some of your 2006 or maybe 7 archives of shows that you did like 10 years before that, and I'm really just stunned because what you were talking about there is just way, I mean, it was really where everybody else is right now.
Yeah, I was doing that a lot on my Health Science Energy show. It was on KFOX, KFOX in Long Beach. that brought
exactly,
the power from California. That was a big show. It only had 5,000 watts of power, and I had a bigger audience than people with 50,000 watts of power. And we talked about, that was back in 84 and 83. And we talked about, which 84, 94, that's 20 years ago, you're right. It's even more than that. And it seems like yesterday, and those shows are archived. We've got a lot of them archived on BBS, you know, in the BBS stuff. And you can listen to those old shows, and you can hear my co-host in those days. And that wasn't an internet show. That was a regular radio show. And then the show over at Whale up there in Providence, Rhode Island, I did a show in 85, I think, up there at Whale Radio for a year. And that's there's some we made all these predictions, and that, yeah, you're right, they're all coming true now. As a matter of fact, the book that I just wrote, I had to change it three or four times because stuff I predicted, I predicted that the swine flu was going to be coming again. It came, so I had to go back, and then I had to show how Rumsfeld made $50 million off of that little go-around. Then I had to go back and show that there was Tamiflu was going to be a bioweapon. And how
exactly. I listened to that show, and I thought I was listening to a show from like 2 months ago, and this was like 10 years old.
Yeah, and so I had to put that in the book because it came out back in April. They tried to launch the Tamiflu as a bioweapon and got caught. They were sending it to five countries. It would have killed millions of people, but some technician in a lab caught it, and the company that makes it, Baxter, in Austria, their Austrian plant, they couldn't come up with an excuse why they're putting out a bioweapons 3 and not Tamiflu, because they're very similar. And then the latest thing, when I did my big workup on Prozac and all of that, I was talking about drugs and how they were starting to get hypnotic drugs more and more onto people. And then Michael Jackson died, and there we had Depravent, which is propofol. And I was already all over that one because propofol has angel dust or PCP type reaction to it. It's actually been tested with angel dust, and a lot of times they administer ketamine with propofol, which they don't tell you on the news. And so when I traced it to the actual discovery of propofol, and guess where I end up? Back to Searle. Searle is the maker of PCP, Tamiflu. I mean, the prime mover on it, and ketamine, all mind control drugs, and there we had Michael Jackson dying on this stuff, you know, under the trade name of Depravent. So, I mean, I had to put that in the book. You know, that was just put in a few weeks ago. I mean, that's probably before the book goes out the door, I'll have to throw something else in that I predicted, you know?
Well, that's why they're good. I know you love to put in all the stuff that's, you know, that's detailed and very important.
Well, you know, on propofol, it's 1%, right? And then they have 10% soy oil in it, and they have 1% or 5% egg emulsifier, which is a protein. It's like a lecithin extract from egg yolks. And so if you have anybody that has any sulfur or soy contraindications, we're not supposed to take propofol. Well, propofol in all the mixture, the active ingredient, which works on the GABA A receptors in the brain, which the GABA A receptors on the brain do is they control your respiratory rate, and your heartbeat. And so what happened was when you look at angel dust and ketamine, where does it work? GABA A receptors on the brain. Stuff. And I got all the chemistry. I put all the chemistry in there for the layperson, and then I put the references in the deeper chemistry if somebody really wants to go look at it and compare the molecules with I think it was like C12 H something. I forget all the numbers on it, but it's all there, so you can make your own comparison. And when you look at that, and you look at the Tamiflu and what's in that, which is cyclohexane, and then you go back and you look at the Prozac, and you start with Effexor. All of those are the same thing. They're just different mixtures. And then on top of that, Michael Jackson had the pure stuff. He didn't have the Dexedrin, which is the 1% propofol. He had the pure propofol out there in the 100% solution. Now, where he got that, That's why all this criminal stuff is going on now, because where in the heck did he get the pure stuff? From a pharmaceutical manufacturer? I mean, you can buy it online if you are a, you know, if you're a drug company, like Merck could buy it to mix it down into their generic name. But where did he get the pure stuff? And that's why all this toxicology stuff's taking so long with him, because he's a high profile guy, and a lot of people want the real answers. And this stuff is hard to, it's contraindicated in the body. It lasts in the body about 48 hours, but it's hard to find because the activity, the active ingredient, propofol itself, which is working on the GABA-A, only works for a few minutes. So it's very hard to detect in the system the actual concentration of it. And that's what's taking these toxicology tests so darn long. You know,
wow.
So they're after somebody because, you know, when you get that stuff, if he got that legitimately through a pharmacist, I mean through a prescription, that's a triplicate. So that means, you know, the doctor gets one, pharmacist gets one, and the DEA and the government gets one, a copy of a triplicate.
Mm-hmm. You know,
three-part prescription, like an old prescription is just a piece of paper. It's
mm-hmm.
What's that? A duplicate is not too common, but a triplicate is very rare, and you're held accountable for how many of those you write and who you write them to.
Wow.
A lot going on here on that, and that's just one more thing that I had covered very well in my book, a huge chapter on this.
Wow, I'm going to enjoy reading that book.
Yeah, it's
waited quite a while for it.
Yeah, it's right here. I even got that chapter right in front of me right here. It's called Drugs, Drugs, and More Drugs, Drug Companies, Health, Manipulation, Deception, Power, in short, Deceptive Mind Control. That's the chapter. I'm showing it to everybody out there now.
Mm.
This is a bad dog. This is like a Mad Dog Chapman out there in the book industry, you know? Oh yeah, this is we're on that one. We were waiting for that to come out. Yeah.
Well, I hope because it's Michael Jackson thing that somebody gets in deep water, because you can't just say, "Oh, if it wasn't one doctor, be another. Don't worry about it." Because we shouldn't be such a nation full of drug addicts. I'm not an expert on it by any means, but like, you know, I just find out friend after friend after friend are using these, and it's just very disheartening because you know. Hard enough to have a clear mind with a frenetic pace that you have to keep, and you know the pace of work and home and all that right now, and yet you get slowed down and messed up worse with the drugs.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the same thing happened. They said that Michael Jackson really started getting strange after he had the hair burning incident, which has been on TV all week. Well, mm-hmm. Howard Hughes. Same thing. I mean, here was a guy that was just as famous at the time, maybe even more famous than probably about the same. He was the top of his game in movies, science, dating girls. You know, the only thing he wasn't was he was basically everything but a rock star. And he had that crash over on that school over, and he was testing the equivalent of the predecessor to what became what called a P-38, which Kelly Johnson ended up, I think, building that or somebody. Yeah, it'll. Yeah, I know Kelly did. I think he did the P-38 or the P-51. But anyway, he crashed it out of school, and got badly burnt, like Michael. And then they put him on all the painkillers, and he never was the same. He before that he was in everybody's face, and then he became the recluse. That's when Noah Dietrich started doing managing him. He got very, very reclusive after that. He never was the same, and he died on a Learjet going, you know, down south. So. I've seen that happen to people, you know. I've seen it happen.
It's just a shame.
Yeah.
So
can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What product would you like to buy? Would you like to buy a Master Crystal? Is that what you would like?
I don't know, you know. I got to think, because I don't know. I could. I mean, I'm going to probably, like I said, I like them all. I like all those products.
Gotcha. So do I.
It's a question of what's good next for me, but really probably any of them would be good. I don't know, I'm kind of thinking about the standalone projector, because, I don't know, I've just wanted one for a while, and if it does amplify whatever else is good around
me,
that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. It amplifies it maybe 1,000 times.
Yeah, it doesn't really... work on bad stuff, because you don't want bad stuff.
Right.
It doesn't do that. It works on good stuff or things that help humanity, you know?
Right.
In the case of my book, I think that this book will help people, and that's why it needed to be, you know, immediately edited within a minute and a half of writing it. No, I'm not even thinking about the publishers right now. I've got a couple that are interested, and they're big ones, but I don't even want to think about it until the book is done. I'm going to print 1,000 of them, and we're going to, you know, serialize them and all that, the first 1,000, and then somewhere during that time, the publisher will get it. And I can tell you that some of the information won't be in the book, because publishers are politically motivated and charged, and they always do editing. So this will be an unabridged, unedited, probably with a few extra mistakes that won't be found, because it's going to be about 450 pages, we estimate, now. And that's fine print, like my other book was. It's not that, this is 10 point, it was a 10 point versus 12 point, which a normal book is. So if you made it the size of a normal book, it'd be fine about 600 pages, you know.
That's a lot of before I sign off, guys, I just wanted to mention one other quick thing, and that is, going back to your archives, that 2006... May 22nd, you said Dr. Bell, time, karma is related to time. That was a just an awesome show. I mean, and then I went to Raise the Truth, Crystals of Life, of Light, and you know, the way you explained it on the tape made the book more accessible. I mean, I read that. I'm not stupid. I mean, I've got a lot of education, but if you did a few shows where you kind of like your new book, you brought up subjects from that book or your new book, that's always great. And Steve, I'm glad you can be on with him, because there's a good reason why you're so popular.
Well, thank you.
So, guys, I'm going to hang up, but I'll listen offline. You guys be well.
Okay. Thank you.
Guys, have a great day. Have a great
Take
day.
Take care.
Great evening now down there.
Yeah.
But anyway... Yeah, it's an interesting time to live, you know.
You bet.
Still would have loved the cowboy days, but probably lived another life in there. Because it's kind of calm out there from what it used to be, you know. But
yep.
Got all this subversive stuff going on. Unfortunately, it wasn't so bad, you know, 150 years ago. But, man, today it's all about subversiveness, you know. It's kind of bad.
I'll tell you, I've been using, once in a while, I use that red laser that you sold me in that Master Crystal. Boy, that really does a number to that Master Crystal.
Yeah, because it produces that spontaneous quantum entanglement with the laser light and your thought and SPDC. I think there's an article on that on the Paradigm. If you go to the front page of Paradigm.com, and then there's an article on that. I wrote an article on that a couple years ago.
Okay.
For some people over at USC, believe it or not. And then in my new book, it's obviously there, too. So, and you can also look it up, just type in SCDC on the search engine. It'll take you to scientific journals and stuff that will explain it more. It's very interesting, and it's very very real. And that's what you see. And the other thing is that, remember, in the... after the Big Bang and the cooling of the universe, you know, of course, the first second a lot happened, but particles really didn't start forming for several minutes later, you know, where it cooled down enough. And it was almost 380,000 years before heavy particles started forming, because it was so much gamma ray radiation. So that's why when science wants to see the expansion of the universe, they send out a couple of different satellites that look at X-rays and their origins, and then calculate stuff. There's another caller on there.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Richard in Fort Lauderdale.
How are you doing?
Hi, Richard.
I'm doing good. Well, it was neat to hear you talk about the sphene, because I just recently ordered a silver receptor with the sphene.
Yeah.
Now, they're talking about it today.
I bought the whole world supply up, I think, in the round, 1 carat. I did that a few years ago, I haven't seen any for sale since then. They're very hard to find, and they're incredibly expensive. So luckily I bought them at a good price, so that gets transferred on to you. But
yeah.
Those are amazing. I've had good luck with children with them, even that are autistic.
Yeah.
Helps calm them down.
Mm-hmm.
And it does a lot. It has a way of rethreading the psychic activity in the body, which is often destroyed by bad living habits. And
yeah. Well, I was interested in it because I have a thyroid and a liver problem.
Yeah. Well, it's multicolored. So
yeah,
a thyroid and a liver situation, it's going to work on a different amplitude level than a normal receptor with an emerald or another piece would have in it. It probably will go to the psychic cause of the problem, because
mm-hmm.
there's always a psychic cause with any problem, and
yeah.
it'll probably allow you to achieve healing on that level that you wouldn't normally get that door open unless you had Steve work on you personally or something.
Right.
You know? So yeah, those beans are really neat. You know, I got some very good ones out here. Eventually, I won't have any, but we've got enough to last
yeah.
a while. So, I bought enough of them where I can pretty much get the color of the one that a person needs, you know, which is really cool. But boy, I had trouble buying those things. It took me a whole year to find them.
But how are you doing at getting the receptors out? I think it's been about a month since I ordered it. Oh.
Yeah, it takes about a month to 6 weeks, especially
yeah.
with the steam, because I had to ship that in. If it's a standard order, it's probably 4 weeks. But we've had a lot of special orders lately. Everybody wants a steen or something that we normally don't have on stock. So yeah, that's the way it's been going around here. We need more people is what we need. We're finally getting some pretty good people to work for us, but we could always use more, you know. And the manufacturing of those is up in L.A. But the guy's pretty quick once he gets everything, you know, handled. It works out pretty good. You'll be very happy. It's worth it.
I had a question, but it's so late in the show now. I'll have to call like at the beginning of a show.
Yeah, what is real quick? I can cover it. We got about a minute and a half.
I haven't been listening to you that long, so I'm sure it's a question you've had before, but what is your opinion on the 2012 stuff?
Well, basically, Steve and I have had shows on that, but the planet Nibiru has a... it produces what are called gravitons, like any planet does. It's a star. It's about the size of Jupiter that never ignited. It has a 3,600-year orbit through our system, and it's coming through now. So it causes a change. The body's mostly water. And so what happens is it causes a change in people, and basically that change goes as such you see who they really are. People typically in the past have worn a mask over their characters and their personalities,
mm-hmm.
and so they're able to disguise themselves to others, and that's being broken down. That's
being broken down, that's right.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's going to be a positive thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not going to be like the end of the world. You know, they got that new movie coming out, It's the End of the World, yeah.
Yeah, go see The One Knowing.
Catastrophic and everything, yeah.
Yeah, now that's easy. Those movies are a dime a dozen.
Yep.
Go see that movie, Knowing.
I saw that.
Huh?
Yeah, I heard you talking about that earlier. I saw that movie. Yeah, that was a good movie.
That's a good movie. The Earth, I don't think it's going to be destroyed, but it's symbolic. To me, it was very symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
And when you change the surface tension of the body, which is what heavenly bodies do, it makes like astrology goes from 12 houses to 13 houses. And the actual name of my book, The Inside Track, in the footnote under it is Beyond 2012. So it actually,
yeah,
book goes beyond that. And by the way, the Mayan calendar doesn't end in 2012. It ends way past 2012.
Yeah.
People that come on to commercialize the Mayan number system, which is based on tens and sixes, it's different than ours don't really understand how that. And I wrote about this in the book, The Mayan Calendar. Richard Feynman, who I also wrote about, was studying the Mayan calendar and the Mayan science. So we covered that all in the book.
Yep.
So you, Well, we'll let you know if you can get a copy of that puppy, because it's going to be out soon.
Yeah, I'd like to get a copy of your new book, yeah.
Yeah, not ready for sale yet, but we'll have it ready soon.
Right.
All right, well, we gotta run. I appreciate you calling in.
I know, it's about over.
Yeah, I remember talking to you on the phone, because you're down.
Yeah, talked a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite areas.
You just happened to answer the phone that day.
Yeah. All right, well, we got to run.
All right, it's good. I'll try calling back earlier in the show another
time. Call back on next Friday.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah, that guy's pretty cool, Steve. He's a retired ballet dancer.
Really?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Ballet dancing is like an art. I mean,
it is.
He must have been a flyer when he was doing that. I mean, that's literally those guys fly. We were talking about some of the moves on that, because Mikel did some of it too, but not, he did it professionally and went all over the world.
Wow.
Yeah, he's quite a guy, you know.
Wow.
So I hope he doesn't mind telling everybody what he used to do. But anyway, we got to get out of here, man.
Okay.
Hey, put your phone number out.
Yeah, my phone number is 585-746-8321. I'll be on the show tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time.
And I will, my number is 1-800-729-2603, 1-800-729-2603 for Pyridine. And you can just type me in the search engine, Dr. Fred Bell, for all the other crazy things we do. It's been Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show with Steve and Bella and Buddy.
Take care.
Catch you next week.